Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're diving into the Book of Isaiah, one of those books in the Bible that is just full of prophecy and poetry and history. But we're going deeper than just skimming the surface.
Yeah.
We're going to take a skeptical look at it. With us, we've got excerpts from a book called Understanding Isaiah, A Skeptical Bible Explained. So buckle up. We're going to uncover some pretty interesting things today.
I think one of the most fascinating things about Isaiah is that it may not have been written by just one person.
Multiple authors for the book of Isaiah.
Yep.
That really shakes things up. I mean, how does that change the traditional way that people look at Isaiah as this one unified divine message?
Well, you can almost think about it as like a tapestry that's been woven together by threads from different periods in Israelite history. And, you know, scholars have generally divided it up into First Isaiah, Deutero-Isaiah, and Trito-Isaiah. And each one kind of reflects a different time period and a different perspective, really.
I see. So you've got these different voices speaking at different times. So can you give us some examples, like how these different voices kind of shine through in the text?
Yeah, for sure. So if we start with First Isaiah, this is coming from the 8th century BCE.
Okay.
And there's a lot of focus on like the political turmoil going on at that time, you know, the fate of Jerusalem.
It's
almost like reading a political commentary in some ways. And then you've got Deutero-Isaiah, and he's writing during the Babylonian exile. So think about it. The Israelites have lost their homeland. Their faith is shaken.
It's a pretty dark time for them.
Exactly. And so Deutero-Isaiah comes in with this message of comfort and hope.
I see.
Promising that there's going to be a return to glory. Then finally, you've got Trito-Isaiah, who pops up after the exile. And he starts talking about the renewed society and all the challenges they faced, rebuilding their lives and the nation.
It really is like looking through these different windows into their history. And it really makes me think about some of those famous prophecies, like the Emmanuel prophecy, where it talks about a young woman giving birth to a son named Emmanuel.
Right.
A lot of people interpret that as a prediction of Jesus. And then there are those suffering servant songs portraying this figure who suffers for the sins of everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Again, often linked to Jesus. So how does this multiple author theory change how we look at those types of prophecies?
That's where things get really fascinating. A skeptical reading of the text suggests that those passages might have been rooted in events or figures that were contemporary to the authors, not necessarily predicting things centuries in the future.
So maybe not literal predictions of what's to come, but more like powerful metaphors.
Exactly.
That reflect the anxieties and hopes of their present moment.
Precisely. And it doesn't take away from their poetic power or emotional impact.
Yeah.
Just encourages us to think about how interpretations can evolve over time, you know?
I mean, it's kind of like how we might interpret a poem or a song differently depending on our own experiences and the times we live in.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
Speaking of time periods, what happens when those prophecies in Isaiah clash with what we know about history? Like that prophecy about the fall of Babylon. History tells us a different story, right?
That's right. The details in Isaiah don't quite match up with what actually happened.
So does that mean that the book's not reliable? What are we supposed to do with that?
Well, I think it highlights the difference between ancient worldviews and our modern understanding of history. Back then, they didn't have access to the same historical records and archaeological evidence that we have today.
I hadn't really thought about it like that.
It really changes your perspective when you do.
So are you saying those ancient prophecies were more like social commentary, using symbolism to talk about current events rather than making actual predictions about the future?
It's certainly a valid interpretation. And it's not just history where we see these clashes. Isaiah's cosmology, his whole understanding of the universe, is pretty different from what we know through science today.
It's like their understanding of how the world works is completely different.
It is. And that really emphasizes why we need to understand the historical and cultural context in which a text was written. It colors everything.
It makes you realize that our own worldview shapes how we read and interpret things.
Mm-hmm.
But what about those passages in Isaiah that advocate violence against enemies? Some of those can be really disturbing to read today.
Yeah, those passages can definitely be tough to reconcile with our own values. We have to remember, though, that they were written in a very different time. Violence was often seen as necessary for survival, even for maintaining order.
So you're saying we shouldn't judge ancient texts solely by our modern moral standards?
Exactly. It's like trying to understand a historical event without considering the social norms and beliefs of that time. It's just not going to give you an accurate picture.
So how should we approach those difficult passages then? It's a tough question.
Yeah, and I think it's a question that each reader has to wrestle with on their own. For me, it's about acknowledging the historical context, but not condoning the actions. It's about understanding that these texts are products of their time.
Mm-hmm. We can learn from them without necessarily agreeing with everything in them.
Exactly.
So I guess what we've learned today is that we need to take a critical approach to Isaiah, questioning those traditional interpretations and considering the historical context. This is not about discarding the text, but about engaging with it on a deeper level.
That's a great way to put it. And I think it reminds us that even a text as ancient and revered as Isaiah can be open to multiple interpretations.
Right.
Makes you wonder if Isaiah can be understood in so many different ways.
Yeah.
What does that say about the power of human interpretation in general, you know?
That's a great question to think about. Keep exploring the Bible, everyone. Keep questioning and never stop seeking a deeper understanding of these ancient texts. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a pleasure.